This is the Sue Free Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on, you gotta wait for the light. Press on and just fight the good fight. Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it's just the dark before the morning.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
Well, we're back again for another Saturday, another time together, and I'm so excited to be here once again. And what we're talking about is the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. And you know, no matter where you are in your life, you are leading. You are leading because you are making choices, and your choices affect other people. And if you don't realize that, sometimes just realizing that might make you take a second thought about what you're choosing to do at this moment in your life. A question to ask is, would you follow you? I think that's such a wonderful question. John Maxwell is a well-known Christian author who focuses on leadership. And he's written dozens of books on the subject and is forever writing another one because there are so many facets of leadership and we soon forget failing to implement the principles. And in the end, it is leadership that decides the success or failure of an organization, a family, any of those things, ministry. So weakness is any of the primary leadership laws can result in the failure of the plan, the project, the team, the organization, or even the family. Men out there, you are called to be leaders in your household. And so if you don't think you're leading, you are. And if you think you could get better at it, then you're listening to the right show, because this is going to give you a little bit of insight on just asking yourself. You know, I always say, you know, take a look at the person in the mirror first. Work on you. Don't point the finger, because they say when you point the finger, there's many fingers pointing back at you. So let's look at you. Let's think about you. And you can think about your boss and how your boss affects you positively and negatively. And another thing that I say, and this is wisdom, is that I've noticed in my own personal life that there are people in your life and in my life that irritate me. I'm sure there are with you too, and whether you're driving and you're smiling, oh yeah, and you're remembering this person that irritates you. I always ask myself the question with the irritating trait, whatever it is that's irritating, if somebody cuts you off in mid-conversation or is just not courteous when they're in your presence, any of those things, if you find that it irritates you, just ask yourself if it's possible, even possible, that you could have that same trait. Because what I've found in me is when I look at someone like that and I say, oh, that person is so irritating, 9 times out of 10, I have to look at those 3 fingers that are pointing back at me. So with that, I'm going to keep going. Simply stated, leadership equals influence. And that's what I was saying about you. You are influencing those that you come in contact with. And that influence can be either positive or negative. I don't know about you, but if I was going to be at the end of my life, I would want people to say to me or about me that by having me in their lives, that there was positive encouragement in their lives, that I made a difference in a positive way. How about you? Do you want to be a positive influence? And if you do, then this show is a good show for you. Times change, technology marches on, knowledge increases, cultures vary from region to region. But the principles of leadership remain. They are irrefutable. I invite you to keep these handy and ask yourself daily how to be a better influencer based on these guidelines. You can grow your leadership skills. Master even one of these, and you will grow as a leader. So I'm at the end of this because the other segments that I've done there are, like I said, 21, and I talk fast, but I don't talk that fast. So what we've done is we've split these up into sections of the laws, and I'm going to do a summary of the ones we've gone over because we're at the end of the 21. So just to give you kind of a little tidbit, the first one was the law of the lid. And what that means is that you're only as good as your leader. The growth only goes to the level of the growth of the leader. So as a leader, you have a responsibility, whether you're a leader of a small group, you're a leader of a ministry, you're a leader of a business, you're a leader of your home. Your organization, those that are under you, under your care, can only grow to the level in which you grow. So what that's saying is that you need to grow. And by listening to this show, that's part of what you're doing, is you're growing. And we need to constantly be growing, and we have to constantly be teachable. Once a person becomes unteachable, they get stuck. And anyone that they're in contact with feels stuck also. So it's important that we always allow ourselves the grace to change, the grace to learn. We need to have God's grace in our lives. So the law of the lid is basically that. You can only grow, an organization, a family can only grow as high or as far as the leader grows. So it's important that the leader continues to grow. The law of influence. There's different types of influences. And they talk about Princess Di. And even though, you know, she was a school teacher and teachers have a lot of influence. And I just admire teachers so much. They don't get paid enough for what they do because they influence so many. I don't know about you, but I can recount every single teacher from first grade on, even now at my age. And what that's saying is that they impacted my life, or why would I remember them? And how about you? Can you remember your teachers? And you can remember the good ones, and you can remember the ones that weren't so good. I had a teacher, fourth grade teacher for my son, that actually impacted his life in a very negative way. And it caused him to have a confidence issue for a really long time. And it was a simple thing where she said something that just was not necessary. And for that, I'm sad about that, but it's a great lesson that I just appreciate teachers, good teachers, so very much. So the law of influence is that we are influencing, and we need to look at how we're influencing and the people that we influence. We've got to make sure that we're doing it in a positive way. The law of process. Leadership growth happens daily, not in a day. It's a lot like long-term investment. If you continually invest in leadership, your skills will continue to increase. Build on the previous day, week, year's progress. The phases of leadership go as follows. 1, I don't know what I don't know. 2, I know what I don't know. 3, I grow and know, and it starts to show. 4, I simply go because of what I know. You may not see progress today. You may not see progress tomorrow, but you will see progress as time goes on. After 20 years of investing, people will ask you how you became such a great leader. It's a daily process of learning and practicing these laws. So basically what that's saying is it is a process. It doesn't mean you're going to arrive today or tomorrow. And everything in life is a journey. And sometimes it's not that you made it. It's getting there. It's the process. It's the journey. And we have to really enjoy where we are right now. I had a dance coach, and I'm frustrated because I'm impatient with myself. I want to get it, and I want to get it yesterday. I want to have everything perfect, you know? And I know that's not possible. I don't have holes in my hands. Only Jesus does. But I strive for excellence, and I know that you do too. So what I'm saying with that is this coach, he said to me one day, he said, Sue, take a breath. Take a breath. And just appreciate where you are right now, because you're never going to be right here again. Because we're going to get past this. We're going to move on. And you're never going to be where you are right now. And isn't that kind of fun to think that you can just breathe, take a breath in, breathe it out, and realize that you're not going to be right here where you are right now 5-10 minutes from now, because the process continues. And the process is the journey, and the journey is what's fun. When you take a trip, you do have a destination, but it's getting there. It's the fun of getting there. The law of navigation. Leaders chart the course, managers steer the ship. In this book, the author points to the case study of the two adventure teams. The two had credentials, resources, and rugged teams, but the planning and foresight ensured he would meet his goals and preserve the safety of his team. He planned it, foresaw the dangers, designed a simple and robust plan, and executed it. The other gentleman, on the other hand, failed to foresee the difficulties involved, over-engineered a complicated plan involving unsuitable machinery that could not handle the cold, and burdened his team. So we need to navigate. We need to have a plan B, basically. That's what this is saying. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. You can stream on KKLA.com. You can click on Listen Live. And you also can go to Sue Free's, spelt like fries, one word, .com. And you can listen to this podcast. You can share this podcast with other people that you might want to share it with. Or you could listen to podcasts from previous shows. I've been doing this show for 2 years now. And there's been some amazing people on this show, some amazing ministries, and just some really good information. So I highly recommend you go on Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com. And become a partner with me, you know, just sign in so that I can get you on my email list. And if you want some information about some of the shows, there's a segment there, a category. It's called Helping Hands. And it's got some information that could really be helpful. And you can download it and you can put it on your mirror or wherever and read scriptures and whatnot from there. There's also videos. There's Sue Free's TV. There's all kinds of things on there. So I just welcome you to get on there and check it out, because I think you'll find that it's very informative. The fifth law of irrefutable, the 21 irrefutable laws of leadership by John Maxwell, the law of E.F. Hutton. Influential leaders have a built-in audience. People want to hear what they have to say. In many circumstances, it is not the leader that people are paying attention to, but another person who commands the respect of the group. What is this saying? It's saying that you've gained the respect. That's very important, is to have to create this kind of respect. And those things are character, relationships, knowledge, intuition, experience, past success, and ability. It's all about respect for the speaker. Remember the point, leadership equals influence. Lose respect, lose influence, lose leadership. Simple. I have a personal situation where I had an employee working for me for 3 years, and this just recently happened, and I could kick myself for this, because he would come to me with frustration and I would listen to his frustrations, and then I would pass the frustrations on to a team of people, and the things didn't get resolved. And so what happened was is that this individual decided to look elsewhere and find somewhere else where maybe he would feel better about the situation. I don't know, because it hasn't been that long, on whether he got what he wanted, because the grass isn't always greener on the other side. But my part in this is my bad, because I should have followed through to make sure that the concerns he had were handled. And he lost faith in me because I didn't do that. So I'm humbly saying to you that I learned a big lesson, and life is a process and it's a journey. And I learned a very big lesson, and the loss was great, because this person was worth keeping. And not all of, you know, all of the time is it that way. But in this case, I lost somebody that I really, if I would have done things differently, the person would still be working for me, and we both would be better off, I think. So lesson learned, and I move on, and I'm sure he's moving on, and I'm hoping everything goes well for him. But I learned the lesson. Now with that, we've learned lessons. We learn lessons every minute of every day. I know I do. I evaluate everything that happens, and I hope you do too, because we learn from those. It is a process, and it's like, okay, that didn't go as well as I planned. What could I have done differently to get the kind of result that I wanted? And when we ask those questions, whether it's in our personal relationships, you know, for instance, I've said this, is that you can go to anybody that you care about, anybody that you want to have a better relationship with, and ask this tough question. And sometimes the answers aren't really comfortable, but they're worth hearing, because it's going to better the relationship that you're hopefully desiring to have. Wouldn't it be great if all of our relationships could be the best they could be? Wouldn't that be a wonderful place to be? I know for me, it would be a wonderful place for me. And the question is this: when you're with that person and you can say to them, on a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being the least and 10 being the best, where would I fit in our relationship? Where would our relationship fit from 1 to 10? And the person's going to answer you with a number. And based on that number, you can be happy if it's a 9 or a 10. And hopefully we all strive for 9s and 10s. But if it's a 4, the next crucial question would be, how can I get this 4 to, let's say, a 6 or a 7 or an 8? What is it I'm going to need to do differently with our relationship to make it go from this 4? And then be quiet. Just zip it up and listen. Don't get defensive. That's the hardest thing, isn't it? But don't get defensive. Just listen. Just listen to what they have to say. And then, you know, you can assess it. And a lot of the times things don't happen overnight. It's a process, like we said before. But what you need to do is just realize there's an issue. You don't know what you don't know, and then you start knowing what you know, and then what you know, if you act on it, it's going to show that you knew and you made a difference. And that's a process, isn't it? So with all that being said, if that helps, and if you can do that, I think you're going to find that it's going to be very helpful information. And start with somebody that's somewhat safe and that you feel comfortable with, and start there. And it's a process. So just rest in the process and realize that, you know, changes don't happen always overnight. Number six is the law of solid ground. Before springing difficult news on your followers, consider their ability to trust you and your judgments regarding the issue. Most followers need to be walked through big decisions prior to hearing news. Gather the key leaders, cast the vision, answer the questions, guide them through, get their ideas and buy-in. The reassurance that comes from allowing the followers to process with you can be the difference between success and failure. Careful not to create a reason not to trust. Character makes trust possible. It communicates to the follower a basis for trust. What is the history between you and your followers? Do you run rockshod over them? Do they get a say? Do you look out for number one? Do you apologize when you make mistakes? That's huge. No matter if it's just dad to child or dad to mom, or in a business relationship, or anything. Admit when you're wrong and say you're sorry. It goes so far, so far. And when you don't do it, don't think people don't notice, because they do. Have you built an account with their trust to draw from? Deplete that account and you're done. Make lots of deposits. You'll always be on solid ground. That reminds me of another book that I read once, and I wish I could give credit to where it came from, but I don't remember where it was. But it was talking about in marriage relationships that you can either make love deposits or love withdrawals. And we should always be making those deposits. But when you do have a withdrawal because you have a disagreement or whatnot, you just have to make sure that you put enough deposit in to cover the withdrawal. And that's really good for accountants or people that realize, you know, checking accounts can go negative. And when you go negative in a relationship, it does nothing but create negative. You are listening to The Sue Freeze Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And we're going over the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. Number seven is the law of respect. No matter what your circumstances, you can increase your leadership potential. There are many stories of leaders of humble circumstances being followed by high-level people because of their leadership collateral. Leaders in the ranks seek out a leader to follow. Strong leadership is a tractor beam for leaders under you in your organization. Weak leadership causes strong leaders to seek leadership elsewhere. Ever wonder where your best leaders went? They may not be candid when they leave, but chances are they left to find a stronger leader. We can keep stronger leaders if we invest in our leadership growth and avoid damaging our equity by failing to exhibit character when it really counts. Number eight is the law of intuition. A good leader has good intuition. Good instincts keep a leader out of trouble. Great leaders see what others cannot around corners. They can make changes or take steps with little warning or evidence. The best kind of intuition is informed intuition. A leader's intuition can lead him to failure as well as success. So information and experience are priceless in this regard. A leader armed with intuition and information will be a great decision maker, both agile and confident. A good leader leads with leadership bias. He sees things through the lens of a leader. It's he or she, and I'm just going to say that. He or she reads the situation, the trends, the resources, their key people, and their own abilities. Intuition is not innate in all leaders. You either naturally see it or you can be nurtured to see it. Otherwise, you'll never see it. Sometimes a leader may have good information and bad intuition. This will lead him to danger. Others have good intuition and bad information. This will cause him to under or overestimate a situation. But good intuition and good information will certainly lead to success, one decision at a time. Always back up the way you feel with objectivity, that's in capital letters, and then go with your gut. So that's basically self-explanatory, I would say, because all it's saying is gather all the information you can. Whenever there's an issue, you know, I'm always trying to get as much information as possible. And there's always three sides to every story, it seems. Even if there's only two people involved, it seems like there's a third story there. So just gather the information and then go with your gut. Go with what you feel. And part of that is knowing the people that you're dealing with. And it's so important because all of this leadership has to do with relationship. It has to do with people. And, you know, churches is made up of people and a lot of the times hurting people. So it's important that we understand that it is people and we all have feelings. And our feelings do matter, and they're kind of a gas gauge. They're kind of a gauge, like a gas gauge for a car. They're telling you something's not exactly right. You know, if the gas tank is going empty, a light comes on or a buzzer goes, or you just see that the signal is saying that it's almost empty. And that's your cue that you need to do something about it. You need to pull over. You need to find a gas station, hopefully one that's cheaper, and get some gas. So our emotions are kind of like that. They're kind of a gauge to say, how are you doing? How are you feeling? What's going on inside of you? And, you know, we don't ignore these. It's not healthy for us to ignore what we're feeling. If you're feeling something, acknowledge you're feeling what you're feeling, and your feelings do matter. Don't let anybody tell you your feelings don't matter, because they truly do matter, because God put them there for a reason. We don't always have to act on how we're feeling. We have a choice. But we need to recognize what we're feeling, because there's something going on there. And to deny it, all you're doing is you're pushing that stuff down and causing you to be numb. And we don't want to do that. We want to live life honestly for ourselves. We need to live honest lives within ourselves. So let's be true to ourselves and pay attention to that gauge, those feelings. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And we're going over the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. The next one, 9, is the law of magnetism. You don't attract the leaders you want. You attract the leader you are. When you feel compelled to complain about the leaders under you, think again. Perhaps your leadership needs shoring as well. Beware also of the one-sided teams. Staff to your weaknesses so you can remain in your strengths. Make sure your team has plenty of variety in people who can express their differing views without fear. That's key. Without fear. If you have strong leadership characteristics, you will attract people with strong leadership characteristics. The author told the story of the Dallas Cowboys, America's team. The ranks of the Cowboys were full of followers with great character. If you want strong players with great character, be a strong example. So basically that's what it's saying. The law of magnetism is to be a good leader. And you also, there's strengths and weaknesses in all of us. God created us for a purpose, and we have gifts. We need to work in our gifts, and we need to hire or have people around us that kind of fill in those gaps in, you know, leadership with business. In ministry, same thing. You want to shore up. You want to have people that are strong around you that can keep all the foundation strong. And in home, you need to look at people's strengths and help them and help them grow in their strengths. And that's really good with our children, too. We need to be looking for their strengths and building on those strengths for our children. The law of connection. A leader touches a heart before he asks for a hand. You cannot lead people who don't connect with you. Once a leader has a trust connection with his followers, they will do almost anything for him or her. Until that connection is made, followers will balk. Consider the Dole-Clinton presidential campaign. Bob Dole was uninspiring, dull, and cold. This is what's being written here. It's not what I'm saying. By contrast, Bill Clinton appeared on Arsenio wearing sunglasses and played the saxophone for the nation to see. He appeared to be warm and normal like us. The leader should always use MBWA or W4C. And what that means is management by wandering around or walk the four corners as a tool to become more aware of employees and their problems. It allows them to connect with you. Once connected, they will follow you much more readily. I do this personally in my business, and I find that I want to just stay in my office and I want to just get things done. And what I find is more gets done by me connecting with the employees in my office. So I go around, I say, how you doing today? How you doing today? It's very important to ask those questions, but don't just ask and walk by. You want to ask the questions and you really want to mean it. We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun, that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals. Microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freeze Show.
So we're back again with the Sue Freeze Show, and I just did a summary from 1 to 10 on the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. So I want to continue on, and I want to get 18 through 21 because last week we had the show with 1 through 17. And so if you want the whole thing, last week and this week would have the entire summary of the book. You could just get the book. It's called 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. So I'm just doing kind of a summary of the book. So starting with 18... The law of sacrifice. A leader must give up to go up. In the troubled times of the Chrysler Corporation, Lee Iacocca came in to save the day. He took a 50% haircut on his salary, I think that's funny, to take over and worked around the clock to turn Chrysler around. They lacked financial systems and controls. Production and supply were out of control. Quality was poor, and the team was fighting each other. Morale was dismal. And loyalty was the worst in the car history. Needless to say, Chrysler was losing money badly. When oil prices soared and the stock fell to $8 per share, Iacocca kept on sacrificing. He eventually went to the U.S. government with his hat in his hand to ask for a bailout loan. He went against all he believed in to make the deal work. During committee hearings, all of the dirty laundry for the corporation and the whole team was exposed. It was very painful. Iacocca reduced his salary to $1 per year as an example for the others. The loan went through and Chrysler bounced back. By 1982, they generated a record profit of $925 million. And by 1983, repaid the whole amount all due to Iacocca's willingness to sacrifice. As you rise higher as a leader, you lose your right to insist upon perks. You have to give up to go up. Over the years, I've been in this business, a termite and pest control business, and from a personal point of view, if it comes to my employees getting paid or I get paid, my employees get paid. There's been numerous times where I've had sleepless nights where I didn't know where I was going to get my next payroll. And I know there's others out there that can totally relate to this. And it's very difficult. And there's employees that look at me and say, wow, you know, she's got it made, and don't realize just how much of a sacrifice. You sacrifice time with kids. You sacrifice time with your husband or your wife. You sacrifice going on vacations. You sacrifice just the stress level of worrying about these people, you know, your employees and whatnot. In ministry, as a pastor, there's a lot of sacrifice. There's sacrifice because, you know, there's somebody in the hospital or there's somebody that's contemplating suicide. There's, you know, a kid that's on the street and needs food. Whatever it is, there's sacrifice that happens, and, you know, we're called to sacrifice. Who did the ultimate sacrifice? You know, Jesus died on the cross for us, and that's the ultimate of sacrifice. And, you know, the biggest reward is in the sacrifice. You know, love in some ways is a sacrifice. When you love somebody, you're giving a part of you. You're giving up something. But what's the gain is you get back too, but not always. Think of a parent to a child. Is it ever paid back? Is it ever even? No. Not so much, but yes, it is. Because, you know, I think it's amazing when you see parents and they have multiple kids and you're saying, how could you have enough love in your heart to give all these kids this love? And it's amazing because you just always have more love to give. It's an amazing thing. So sacrifice is exactly that. You must give up to go up. And the leader always has to sacrifice. You know, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. It's kind of that theory right there. Number 19, the law of timing. When to step up as a leader is as important as what to do and where to go. The book used the example of Jimmy Carter, the soft-spoken, quiet Christian leader with a combined political experience of only one term as state senator and one term as governor when he ran for president. virtually unknown to the rest of the nation, people were indifferent when the announcement was made. But while all of that would normally work against him, it was what exactly the American people needed. Someone they could trust, and the timing was right. He won, decidedly. The law of timing was just as unkind to Jimmy Carter over his term in office. Numerous foreign policy problems, the Iran hostage crisis, and the blown attempt to rescue the captives. Record high oil prices, record high inflation, mortgage rates approaching 20%, and the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan had shaken America's confidence. In the next election, Carter was only able to garner 49 electoral votes to 489 for Ronald Reagan. It is a two-edged sword. Be careful. Beware. Take the right actions at the right times. It is critical to pay close attention to the law of timing. The law of timing. It's truly timing. Everything in life is timing. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. If you're just tuning in right now, I want to suggest to you that you could, if you have to get out of your car, you can listen live. You can stream on KKLA.com. Click on Listen Live. You also can go to Sue Free, speltlikefries.com, and you can listen to this podcast. You can share this podcast, or you can listen to other podcasts and get the full picture of this book that I'm doing a summary on. It's really a really good book, and it really gives you a lot of insight. The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership by John Maxwell. And it's really helped me a lot. And, you know, in the beginning of this, if you're just tuning in, I want to get you up to speed here. And the thing is that we are all leaders to some degree because we all influence those that are around us. You know, if it's a child watching you on how you handle something, you know, when you're driving in the car, you've got a child there and they're watching how you're handling traffic. You know, what is it that's coming out of your mouth? What are you listening to on the radio? You know, these things matter. You know, eating, you know, what do you eat? Are you eating the right foods? Are you giving your children the right foods so that they have the brain power they need in order to tackle today? These are all important things. Number 20 out of the 21 is the law of explosive growth. If you want to add growth, lead followers. If you want your growth to explode, lead leaders. Wow, that's impactful. You know, there are followers and there are leaders. And even though the followers are leading somewhere along the line, there's those that are called to lead. And you know who they are. I say to people, you know, do you know if you're a leader? Turn around. Is there anybody following? You know, it's just kind of a funny thing. But truly, leading leaders means that you're going to have a bigger impact. Leaders who develop followers add growth. Leaders who lead leaders, you multiply. You multiply your efforts. And that's what we're called to do. We're called to multiply. Leaders who lead leaders want to be successful. They focus on the strengths of their top 20% leaders. They treat their leaders as individuals. They give power and responsibility away. So that means you're empowering your leaders to lead and not micromanaging. And that's a tough one too, because you got to make sure that you've got the right people in the right place. Do you have the right people on the bus? And whether that's ministry or if that's, you know, in your business, ask yourself that question. Do an evaluation. Ask who the people are, that 20-80 or the 80-20 rule. Ask who your 20% are, the 20% of your people that are doing 80% of the work. I've been in ministry for many, many years, and I can tell you that there's those that just go above and beyond, above and beyond, above and beyond. And then there's those that just come and do what they need to do, and then they just leave. I'm thankful for both. I'm so thankful because, you know, it's a payless job monetarily, but it is, you know, the benefits are in heaven. But I'm just saying that in business, it's the same thing. And going even a step further, as parents, because I'm a mother, and as a parent, what do we need to teach our children? We need to teach our children to be good stewards of their money. And I think allowance is a good thing. I don't know what your thoughts are, but I think allowance is a good thing because you're teaching them a process. You're teaching them that someday they're going to need to get a job or even be self-employed. But either way, there is monetary benefit. And you need to teach them how to spend their money, how to make the money, how time is money. And that once the time is gone, it's gone. You can't make that time back up. Once it's done, it's done. Once this day is gone, it's gone. So what are you doing with this day? Are you making the most of this day? It's important that we teach our children these principles. And allowance is good, and giving them job responsibilities. You will find their gifts, and you will help them to grow in their gifts by giving them job responsibilities. And, you know, when you're trying to build a team, whether it's at home and having everybody put their part in as far as what they're going to do for the house, I used to have this struggle. You know, I'd make a list, and, you know, there'd be taking the trash out, there'd be doing the laundry, there'd be who's going to vacuum, who's going to dust, you know, all those things. And I had it on a list, and I thought I was so organized, and I had a family meeting. I called a family meeting, and I asked each child what they would like to do, because I figured that was a good way to go. What would you like to do? And in business, I do that too. I have a list of things I want to get done. I'll put the list up and I'll say, okay, who wants to tackle what project? And so it's the same, whether you're a mom, a dad in the home, or you're in work, it's basically the same. You have a list of things you want to get done, but there has to be somebody to make the list. There has to be somebody that's leading of, you know, here's the goal. How are we going to make this goal happen? How are we going to achieve this goal? And whether it's at home, in ministry, or at work, you've got the same issues. The principles are the same. So we as parents, we need to teach our children, and the children's boss are going to thank you later. I can't tell you how many times with my my technicians I will say, you know, I'm so grateful that you were born. I always give them a little gift card for their birthday. And I say, I'm so thankful you were born, because I'm so thankful you're working here at Ecola. And I also say, boy, your mother did a wonderful job teaching you manners, teaching you job, you know, how to handle the job. And it's not always the mom, I know that. I'm just happen to be a mom, so I think mom has input. But whether it's mom or dad or both, which is the best, mom and dad working together in unity and harmony, oh my gosh, that's the best, isn't it? So the law of explosive growth is talking about leaders who lead leaders multiply. And as a parent, we want to lead leaders. We want to teach our children how to be leaders so that they can multiply. That's amazing, isn't it? You are listening to the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. So the last one is the law of legacy. A leader's lasting value is measured by succession. And again, whether you're a parent or you're a leader in a business or in ministry, a leader's lasting value is measured by succession. What happens while you are there is important, but the real value of your effectiveness appears when you are gone from the organization, when your kids grow up and become parents of their own. Can it thrive without you? It needs to. I was really worried. My daughter, she went away to, she was a valedictorian. I'm so proud of both of my children. But she was valedictorian at her high school, and she got a free, not free ride, but she got a free ride for me to college. And she was accepted at Long Beach State. And they have a President Scholars program, and it's basically such a wonderful program. I don't know if other schools have it, but basically she got a full ride, dormitory, and all of her books and everything were paid for, which thank you, God, for that. But on the other hand, I mean, and also what she got is she got a director that was on call and on staff to help them pick out their classes, and they got privilege over even the athletes. Now, I don't know how often that happens, because usually the athletes get the privilege, but the scholars got the privilege to have first dibs on the classes that they wanted. And I thought, how wonderful is that? Because they're getting rewarded for all their hard work. And I thought that was so great. And where I'm going with that is her third year, her junior year in college, she studied abroad. She's always been artistic. My kids, my son was, his best toy was a ball. And he became a really incredible soccer player. And it was wonderful. I was a soccer coach and soccer mom. And it was so great to be involved in that. And my daughter's favorite toys were crayons, not these things they have now, but just crayons, you know, really inexpensive. But how wonderful is that? You could take them anywhere, restaurant, whatnot. It kept her so occupied. And she was such an incredible artist. God gave her an amazing talent for art. And she got accepted to the Italian art school. And me running Ecola, I just felt like I needed to be at work every day. And she was turning 21, and she was in Italy, and she was turning 21. And I thought, oh, I don't want to not spend her 21st birthday with her. So I got on a plane and I flew over there, and I was over there for 3 weeks. Now, for me to be gone from my company for 3 weeks was scary. It was so scary. But do you know I did it? You know why? Because my daughter was more important, and I felt it was very vitally important that I go over and spend this time with her. So I did, and we had a wonderful, wonderful time. She was going through a depression, but didn't let me know that she was going through a depression until I got there and I saw her. And she was going through some really hard struggles at the time. And I didn't have contact because I didn't want to spend the money to have the extra cellular and whatnot. So I just didn't have contact at all. I totally cut myself off, which is scary, very scary. I don't recommend it, I guess. But for me, it was one of the most amazing, amazing things, because my daughter, she does not remember a time when we were together where my cell phone wasn't at my ear. And that's sad to say, but it was true. No matter, you know, I was always felt I was with her, but I realize now that I was with her, but not completely present. And I thought I was, and I thought I was such a great mom, and now I'm realizing I could have been a better mom. But see, that's part of the sacrifice of being a leader. It's part of the sacrifice. And, you know, I will regret that I wasn't more with her. But that time was amazing with her, and we went through a lot of discussions and talks, and it was a wonderful, most precious time, and I'm so glad I did it. And you know what the really amazing thing is that I came back, and my company was more profitable with me gone than when I was there. And I was thinking, wow, you know, I could be like, that could be sad for me, you know, if I was all about me. But I was relieved. And you know what it said was that I have leadership ability to some degree, because the leadership people that I had in place ran my ship, our ship, our team ship, without me, and they did a better job than I did. And how great is that? I'm not going to be offended by that. I'm going to say, wow, keep going. You know, maybe I should just stay away more often. And that's not a bad thing either. You know, leaders need to take breaks too. So leaders, if you're tired and you haven't had a break, you need to refresh. You need to refresh. It's very important you refresh, because what did Jesus do? He went away and rested, didn't he? And he did it for 40 days. I don't know if you need to do it for 40 days. I did it for 21. I would have liked to have done it for 40 days, but 21 seemed to be enough. I went back at Christmas time, and that was wonderful too. So refresh, take some time. You know, even just a 3-day getaway sometimes is enough to refresh. Okay, so can it thrive without you? It needs to. In my case, it did. It thrived without me. So I guess that's a good thing. So the Law of Legacy, the story of Roberto Guizeta, I hope I'm saying that right, of Coca-Cola illustrates this law. He once gave a speech to illustrate the size of the number 1 billion. A billion minutes ago, Christianity emerged. A billion seconds ago, the Beatles appeared on Ed Sullivan. A billion Coca-Colas ago, it was yesterday morning. Phew! Guizeta was a fantastic leader. He was cruising his way towards leading the best corporation in the world. He was questioned about his retirement plans, but answered that he was having way too much fun to retire. But he was diagnosed with cancer and died 6 months later. The stock market did not panic at the announcement of his death. A Payne Weber analyst reported that he had prepared the company for his not being there as well as any executive I've ever seen. Guizeta had groomed Douglas Ivester for the role, a financial professional. He was named CFO shortly after joining Coke. Recognizing his talent, Guizeta sent him to Europe to gain operational experience and brought him back a year later to become president of Coca-Cola USA and eventually CEO. Guizeta had done what few leaders do. He prepared his replacement. Legacy is created when a person puts his organization into the position to do great things without him or her. He will be measured by the law of legacy. So, isn't that interesting? And we could think about this for quite some time, but ask yourself what kind of legacy you are living and leaving. Are you doing what God would want you to do? Is the legacy what you would want? There was another show that I mentioned that my mother-in-law was diagnosed with phase 3 cancer. And with cancer, you know, you never know how it's going to go. You know, don't know if you're going to, you know, get that second chance and if you're going to be able to live a long life or if it's going to take you home. We don't know. We don't know. We just have to trust those that are put in places of more knowledge than we have as far as how to fight this ugly thing called cancer. I lost my father to it also. So what do you do with that? You need to know the legacy that you're leaving. You need to know. And when you have these things, you can ask yourself that question. It kind of puts you in this place with, you know, what are you going to leave? What are people going to say about you on that last day, on the day that they celebrate your life? I like to say that, celebrate your life. And when people are gathering around and celebrating your life, what are they going to say about you? What are they going to say about you? And is it what you want them to say? And if it's not, you have a choice. You have a choice right now to make a change, to make a decision, and decision's the first part. Nothing happens in life without motion. Do you realize that? Motion. And even if it's a thought process to change your thinking, then you got to move on that. Because if you just think it and don't do anything about it, you might as well just forget it. You have to take motion. You have to make a change, and change is motion. So take some action, not just be words, and make this motion to leave a legacy that you would want to leave. And think about the kind of leader that you are, the influence that you have for those that are around you. Are you the kind of person that you want to be? And if not, what better time than now to make a change and to make a difference? And Ecola, we're talking now about success, and that Ecola has been successful, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that we have been successful. I'm going on my, I just celebrated my 12th year of owning Ecola, and I've been in the industry 31 years, and we have been successful. But now our employees and Ecola as a whole, our thought process is we don't want to just be successful. We want to make a difference. We want to be significant. We want to make a difference in this world, and we are making changes that are going to accomplish this. And I encourage you to do the same. It could be the smallest of things, or it could be a large thing. It's up to you. But we all, you know, how do you make a difference in that starfish story about the child that was throwing the starfish, and the guy says, what are you doing? You know, you're not going to make a difference. And made a difference to that starfish that he threw into the water. So until next week, think about the show. Think about legacy. And God bless you. And we'll be talking next week. So until then, God bless. Bye.
Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved. Child, you're forgiven and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. Ah, it's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.